Block one is about the potential for change and about existing problems of delivery of the science curriculum. This audio sequence is an opportunity to hear firsthand some voices, some opinions clearly and forcibly put. Nearly all of what you'll hear focuses on experiences of learning science at school level. The opinions expressed no doubt will spark some useful recollections of your own about learning science. A starting point will be to get a broader picture of the views and experiences of teachers and students about school science. What are students and teachers asking for? A survey in 2002, conducted by the organisation Planet Science, painted an intriguing mix of enthusiasms and concerns. Bobby Cerini of Planet Science provides the details.
There's a number of things that there's not enough of in the classroom, things that we would like to see more of and that we know students would like to see more of, and also teachers. And this comes out of some research we've done with students looking at their responses to the science curriculum. We've also received a lot of feedback from the thousands and thousands of teachers and students we have on our weekly mailing lists. So we do know that we're tapping into a range of ideas and feedback that's coming in from both kids and from teachers. And what they're saying are things like, we'd like to teach in more exciting ways, but we don't know how. We know there are great experiments that can be done. We've done all the ones we know. Where can we get some more? Students are saying, we love practical work. We'd like to do it more. We'd like to do it in a much more open-ended way. We'd like to have stronger ownership of it so that the answers aren't necessarily given. The teachers don't necessarily know what the investigation will be. Investigations that lie outside the very narrow topics within the curriculum. We'd like to see more philosophy, more ethical issues. We'd like to see more examples that apply to real life. We would like to see science in the classroom that applies to us as individuals. That's what teenagers have been saying to us.
This type of evidence suggests that present-day talk of a crisis in science education is rather overblown. But how can we ensure that interest in science at school level is maintained to motivate the greatest numbers of school students? Bobby Cerini again.
I think one of the key things about retaining the interest of students, particularly whilst they're going through the motions of getting qualifications or even before that, getting through their primary science, is about giving them something that they can hang on to in terms of something that relates to them, provides them with a sense of, oh, I understand how that relates to me, I understand what that means in the context of my other life experiences. Now, if you're only 10 years old, your life experiences might be limited. They might be limited to things like, you know, kicking a ball around, watching telly, going to the cinema, that kind of thing. And what we're really keen on seeing is practical examples of how these everyday things can be interpreted in the light of science and scientific practice. But what they recommended was that the single way to really improve this was to introduce more real-life topics, more relevant examples and applications that they could relate to. So, for example, topics like genetically modified food, human and animal diseases, human health, social issues that affect everybody on a day-to-day level, there's no reason why they shouldn't be as equally applicable in the classroom as they are in everyday life.
But some may think of engagement with the real world of science as coming at a price. The image of science that surrounds us is a complex one, with a number of different facets. Here's what the educationalist Caroline Swain thinks, followed by further thoughts from Michael Rice of the Institute of Education in the University of London.
If you look at the sorts of exhibitions about science that the Royal Society produces in terms of excellence in science, if you look at the pages of The New Scientist, you see stories of developments in science which are useful, which are helpful to people, are helpful to developing countries as well as to the developed world. If you look at our national press, you get rather a different story, I think. And therefore, if you're trying to relate science in school to science in the outside world, you need to look beyond the horror stories, the BSE, the MMR, and so on, and try and get a range of things which pupils might be able to relate to, and to show them that science brings benefits as well as problems or challenges to deal with. I think one of the problems with trying to do this is that children have so little point of reference other than their own experience. And so they probably find it very difficult to see some of the advantages that science has brought to them. And again, it's a matter of experience of the world and maturity that enables people to get a more realistic perspective. But I don't think that means that we shouldn't try to present a positive and a balanced view of the pros and cons of scientific development.
It's interesting that most people who work in science education outside of the classroom are very keen to make really good links between what pupils are learning in school science and the wider world. They're very keen on things like using newspapers and media as vehicles. They're keen on other sources of informal science education. All the research shows fairly conclusively that while a minority of teachers do that in school science lessons, most teachers, for all sorts of understandable reasons, don't. So if we want school pupils to really be making the links in their lessons between what they are learning and science in the everyday world, we've got to ensure both that we have the curricula that are suitable for that, but also that we help enable teachers to feel really comfortable teaching in ways that may be different from the ways that they learn to teach science. Learning science can indeed be fun and engaging. One of the ways to ensure that students don't get too turned off too much by it is, first of all, not to be proselytising. In other words, the function of a school science teacher is not to try and convince everybody that science is fun and engaging and good for you. You often find that good teachers in other subjects are just better at treating young people as adults, able to look at a subject, get from it what they want to, but also look at it critically and without getting pulled into it wholeheartedly.